Deer Trucking Awesome. What do you think of when someone says tough? Honestly, I think of a Toyota truck. Tundra's one mean mother of a truck with a twin-turbo V6, an incredible going power, and the Tacoma claws through terrain with a taller suspension and lots of creature comforts in the cockpit. Both Toyota trucks are decked out with tons of cool features and tech you'll dig. Check them out at Toyota.com, folks.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Welcome into the DNVR Rockies podcast brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook. Now, when you download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use promo code DNVR, you can get $200 in free bets instantly when you place a $5 bet this Sunday and any Sunday. That's code DNVR only at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. I am Patrick Lyons.
I am Susie Hunter. What a roller coaster this Diamondback series has been for all of us.
It was wild.
Are you rattled?
So much. I am rattled a little bit by so many different things. The fact that the Rockies actually won this series.
Yeah.
As predicted. To be fair, I predicted about 2.5 weeks ago. If you'd asked me a couple days ago, I would have flipped and said the D-backs probably would have taken 2 out of 3. But no, the Rockies win this series. They go 4-2 at home this week. We got to talk all about the craziness from Friday night. That was one of the weirdest games at Coors Field anyone can remember, one of the weirdest games can even remember. We've got to talk about today's game, which was also, for a lot of action, it was almost boring in a sense.
It was, I heard a lot of people in the press box saying, I'm bored to death right now.
A lot of grumbles. But you know what? There's going to be a lot of boring things happening when you have a pitcher for the opposition, like Zach Gallen, mm-hmm. who's going out there with a scoreless inning streak, 41 1/3, going into today, only needed one more for the D-backs record. He ended up getting it, actually didn't give up a hit, I think, until the third inning there to Sean Bouchard. So he looked really solid, and I know you talked to him after the game because there's all kinds of numbers and stats going around, and we'll break down some of them, but it sounded like he almost had a couple stats of his own.
You know what? He brought up something that I'm not sure anyone noticed. We didn't talk about it. So his incredible 44-inning scoreless streak, that's a franchise record for the D-backs. But also, he mentioned, he was like, that streak started before my 27th birthday. So his first first runs that he's given up as a 27-year-old happened here today, Sunday, at Coors Field.
Not bad.
Yeah. He was like, I'm surprised that no one has brought this up yet. I'm like, if you were on the Rockies, we probably would have noticed it.
Well, that would be interesting to try to get Elias Sports Bureau to figure out, like, what pitcher has the most innings pitched before they gave up a run after turning 27. Even as I'm saying it, I'm falling asleep. I can't wait to get to the second segment where we do talk about Friday's game because, today's game was a little bit boring. It was a 12-6 loss. Rockies fall just short of the Tacos. I don't know if you noticed this. Rockies gave up 12 runs, no home runs. That's kind of rare. I mean, it is. Yeah. It's only the 10th time in Coors Field history the Rockies have ever had that happen, where they don't give up a long ball. They did give up 9 free passes. They walked 9 guys, which has happened a lot more frequently in Rockies history in general. So that wasn't good. And then another stat that was not great, 6 stolen bases by the Diamondbacks.
And a double stolen base.
Yeah.
That was painful.
And a steal of home. Actually, I have to go back and look. I think they credited Christian Walker with a steal of home. Right, that was this double stolen base you're talking about, right?
Yeah.
I think there might have been another double stolen base, too, where they stole second and third. But yeah, Walker stole home on a play where Servin probably should have ran up the third baseline to try to just chase the runner back just a little bit. Mm-hmm. He threw it to Montero. Montero threw it home. By the time it got there, boom, Walker, a guy who's not very fleet of foot, ended up scoring there. D-backs stole a couple bases up. I want to say that might have been the Jake McCarthy stolen base. We'll talk about him in a second. But he stole a bag, and it got us kind of whispering, like, all right, you know, the unwritten rules have kind of are staying unwritten. You know, they're not being adhered to as much as they've been in the past. But it did seem like, you know, maybe the Rockies would get a little upset. They were throwing inside a little bit to Christian Walker there. Mm-hmm. I think Chad Smith almost hit him on 3 consecutive pitches. Rockies ended up getting hit by a pitch a couple times. So not sure if there's any bad blood there or if anything was going to boil over. But it's not great when guys are stealing bases and you got a big lead like that. So that was disappointing. But Rockies were able to get 3 runs against Zach Gallen. So that's definitely something positive. It's the most runs he's given up since August 2nd. Since back, you know, almost a year ago when he was 26 years old. I think that's how that works.
Yeah, he did also mention that, you know, it was so cool to, you know, break that franchise record. But also very bittersweet because the streak ended today too. But, very, you know, true. That's Coors Field. He mentioned, you know, that's just what happens at Coors Field.
It wouldn't have shocked me if he totally would have shut down the Rockies. And, I mean, he struck out 11 guys. So, I mean, he obviously had that going for him in a real major way, even in that fourth inning when the Rockies were able to come through with 3 runs early and make it a 4-3 ball game. Mm-hmm. So, you know, tip of the cap to Elias Montero, who did a really good job there. You know, they were able to battle, but Gallen was still able to strike out 3 guys in that fourth inning. Breaks Brandon Webb's record. As we said, it was 42 innings even. That was the 7th longest streak in baseball history. So now Gallen passes him in the D-backs record books, passes him in the baseball history books, and goes on a pretty elite list of guys who were able to do that. Had 6 straight starts of 6 innings or more where he didn't give up a run. So he was the player of the month in August. He was the player of the week last week with 2 wins and his 2 starts, not giving up a run again, of course. So, you know, he's been really fantastic. Not bad for a guy who's been traded twice in his career. How about that?
Wow.
That was really strange. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Bud, he didn't do a pregame scrum, but he just kind of came out to talk with us and hang, which is always fun.
He likes a Sunday casual hang.
Yeah, he's just in his sweatshirt.
I love that about Buddy.
He's hanging. Apparently, he did actually, no, he didn't scout Gallen. He was scouting a bunch of different guys with the Angels before he had accepted a job with the Rockies. So this was in 2016. Was scouting about 5 different college guys. The one guy he didn't get to was Zach Gallen. So Gallen's kind of been on his radar, I think, for a while. So you know, kudos to him. He hasn't even entered arbitration yet. So Diamondbacks, man, they are pesky. Jake McCarthy's kind of become somewhat of a new pest there for the Diamondbacks there. their number 3 hitter. He's not going to win Rookie of the Year because, look, we know the 2 guys from Atlanta, Spencer Strider and Michael Harris the second, not to be confused with Michael Harris Jr., who isn't a thing.
Doesn't exist,
but as we've established, but he could get some third place votes. You know, he was 0 for 2 to start today, then put together 3 straight singles, had a nice RBI triple, stole a base. He's got an 8-game hit streak. Not bad for a guy who, he was a first rounder there in 2018, 38th overall pick, but, you know, was never a top 100 guy on a team full of a lot of top 100 prospects. So Jake McCarthy is another pest for a guy that sounds like his name should be on a Disney Channel show.
I'm Jake McCarthy, and you're watching Disney Channel.
Yeah, we'll have to tell the PHNX, the Diamondbacks guys, because I'm sure they could get a little Photoshop going there.
Yeah, we need it.
We definitely we needed a big game from Ryan McMahon. Unfortunately, it wasn't enough. The rest of his team kind of let him down. But he is our DraftKings Sportsbook king of the game. Ryan McMahon, he barely kept his crown on making this grab. He had a nice day at the plate, didn't he?
Yeah, he went 2 for 4, a home run that just felt amazing, and 2 RBI. So Rymac, king of the game. You love to see it.
He hit it to the facade or off the facade of the second deck. Mm-hmm. They said it was 387, and a few of us, we kind of had our average estimation in like the 420s. And so I thought that that might have been a little bit low. So mm-hmm. that might be a theme here today about calculating slash recalculating home run distances, because Friday, boy oh boy, there was a ball that was hit quite far. Jake Bird, you know, did a good job today in the bullpen. Ryan Feltner, mm-hmm. he talked post game saying, you know what, it early on in the season it felt like a lot of, you know, taking 2 steps back, maybe 1 step forward. Now it feels 2 steps forward, 1 step back. This was definitely a step back. But buddy, if you can remember that one start where he walked a lot of guys, seemed very disappointed and like, look, this isn't Triple A anymore, kid. Mm-hmm. This time he was, you know, frustrated, obviously, when you have 9 walks by your team in general, not good, but did say, you know what, there's been progress made by Ryan Feltner, and he's, mm-hmm. you know, really shown some progress. So overall, you know, you have to like what he's been able to do, providing the Rockies with some depth, you know what I mean? In general, especially when Gomber hasn't been as effective at times. He struggled today. He was only able to get 1 out in what was, a 40-minute inning there?
It lasted forever. Did we get a third of an inning out of Gomber?
Got 1/3 out of him.
Yeah.
We got 1/3 of an inning out of Alex Colome, but we also got a game out of him. I mean, game length.
Yeah, game length, of an inning.
That 1/3 was 3 hours.
Okay, so I was talking to Patrick Saunders, and I was like overhearing him talking to someone else too, but was he talking about this up front where he was timing Alex Colome between pitches, and it was about 26 seconds between pitches? What is going to happen to him with the pitch clock? Because he's way over.
He is a serial abuser of the pitch clock. He beats the clock badly. Yeah, he is going to struggle. I don't think that's going to make, you know, teams shy away from him in free agency, because players are going to adjust, like they will. They're very begrudged right now. I think that could be a word, right? I've never used it like that. They are begrudged.
Okay.
They feel begrudged, right?
Okay.
Yeah. Sure. Charlie, not too happy. A lot of more to the veteran guys, and a lot more on the pitcher side. We'll talk about the new rules in just a little bit. But yeah, Colome, boy oh boy, yeah, when he comes into a game, things slow down. If he gets outs, it's okay, but he did not get outs. Mm-hmm. And we'll have to maybe check in later on in the show to see if the Rockies missed their flight because of Alex Colome. And a little bit of Austin Gomber. We're going to give him a pass. He works quick.
Yeah.
He does work quick.
It was just a weird day. And we have to remember, Mercury's in retrograde.
Well, it's an obvious thing. I don't want to say it. I mean, I've been tweeting it out all day. I think it's implied, but I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah.
Even though it's well known. Just like it's well known, and I have to bring it up, it's only 50 cents for your first month at thednvr.com. And one of the best new features here at the DNVR Bar 2.0, we had a wonderful grand reopening on Friday. The Avalanche Nachos are not just called that because the Avalanche play in Denver.
Make an avalanche.
Yes. It comes in. My dad knows what kind of can it's called.
What is that called?
It's called a 1320th. I don't know. He's going to kill me later. But he worked in the food industry. And like that can has like an actual
Your
name.
Your dad's a can guy.
He's a can guy. He never worked at a cannery. Wait. But he's a can man. My dad, Dennis, he's a can man. He knows what it was. But yeah, all the nachos come in a can. They turn it upside down. A little tap, 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 roux. They lift it off. It's a whole presentation. Mm-hmm. And if you're a member, you get 15% off your tab. That's insane.
Took you so long to get there.
Well, look, I'm excited about the Avalanche Nachos. We're going to have a guest coming by post-show, I hope. I may have to split those with him because they're very delicious. You get an annual membership. You get a free shirt from dnvrlocker.com, price breaks and all the tailgates. I know they had a great time down in Colorado Springs. CU went down there. We don't have to talk about the score, but the good time they had on the bus going to Air Force. It's just one of the many different things that we got going on over at the dnvr.com. And, you know, you can use promo code DNVR when you're over on DraftKings Sportsbook because, yeah, the first Sunday of the NFL season is here. It's right now. We're in it. We're living the first Sunday.
Yeah, and we're competing with Sunday Night Football right now.
Is it a competition when everyone's watching us and not the the boys and the Bucks? Giselle's husband and the stars. I don't even refer to them by their name. But look, DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, is giving you guys a can't-miss offer to celebrate the return of the season for new customers. Right now, all you got to do is bet $5, and you're going to get $200 in free bets instantly. And here's a cool thing for week one. There's only a couple games left going on Monday night. We'll get to that in a sec. You can experience the thrill of the early win promotion. All your team needs to do is get up by 10 points, and they're automatically going to say, hey, you've won, even if they don't even fulfill that. Doesn't matter if you get up by 10. It's like you're going to win. It feels like you're going to win, at least financially, from DraftKings Sportsbook. So download them. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code DNVR to get $200 in free bets instantly when you place a $5 bet today, this Sunday. That's code DNVR, only at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See link in the description for details. Last week, last 3 weeks, really, you know, I had the revenge week, all of those bundled together, which was really cool. Mm-hmm. I got Russ leading the NFL in passing TDs at like plus 1,600. I'm going in on the Broncos again. But here's the thing. You can take them to win, giving 6.5 in Seattle, and that's minus 115, which basically means if you bet 115, you will get back 100, right? Well, you can go in and change those lines. That's actually what I'm doing. I'm going to give
Patrick
the Seahawks,
so sneaky.
I'm going to give them 9 points. Well, I'm actually going to give them 8.5. So Broncos win by 9. Now I've actually turned the tables. Now it's plus 118. So now I don't even need to bet 115. I got to bet 100 plus, or rather I got to bet 100. I'm going to win back 118. So I'm winning a lot more money by going in and tweaking those lines. That's one of the cool features there of DraftKings Sportsbook. One of the cool features of Friday night was there were dogs there. I mean, that's pretty much the only...
That was the highlight of the night, is that it was Bark in the Park. There were incredible dogs out on the outfield concourse. Just incredible. Everyone dressed up. They were posing for pictures with Dinger. I didn't ask if any of the dogs maybe had any accidents on Dinger. I gotta imagine that's hard to get out.
Yeah.
And dogs that are so excited. Not to make it gross, but that was my first thought. I went there.
That's gonna happen. But it's probably easier of a cleanup on concrete, you know?
But like if it gets on the Dinger suit.
They're not.
Because Dinger was holding animals.
Oh, I was gonna say, I mean, they're not spraying out. I mean, really, it would just be on his cleats, you know, his turf cleats. Because
I don't know.
He's not metal.
He was getting pretty up close and personal.
Yeah, you definitely need the hair roller, you know, just in case if people are allergic. That Friday was crazy. Hey, we should mention that they did win on Saturday, 4-1, in a completely opposite game.
Yeah.
And ended up being like 1 minute quicker. It was really good. Crone homered for the second day in a row.
Crone was cooking this weekend.
He was. He entered the game 4-for-10 against Mad Bum, so he continued to hit really well. Jose Urania did his thing of running gangly over to first base, running into some people, getting knocked down flat. That was very entertaining. Does that happen if the base is bigger? Probably. Yeah, it does.
We're going to talk about the rules. I'm getting ahead of myself.
Did you know? I learned this and I confirmed it with him.
Okay.
Did you know he spits before every inning he goes out? I thought it was just the start of the game.
Really?
It's every inning. I noticed it like the third inning he was going out, saw the spray, saw him go beluga style up there. And I go, oh, well, I got to ask. He's like, yeah, no, I do it before every inning.
What did he say about why he does it?
I didn't go that deep. Just baby steps. Just I got him to admit on record. Not that it's anything to not admit. Wow,
Patrick, you broke the story wide open.
I did. I broke it. Yes, he actually does it multiple times. Daniel Bard had his 29th save.
Yes, great. Daniel Bard.
Not great.
There was no light show. What the heck?
No light show. It just disappointing.
Did,
I don't know.
Did the Rockies get to a point in the season where the guys who do the lights are just like, y'all don't deserve this?
Maybe. Yeah, I had a couple of people calling out, so they nobody was able to push the stranglehold button for the light show to go. Well, that happened like his second or third time out, and we go, oh, yeah, they're not really winning a lot of games, so maybe they want to save some money. But then they kept doing it after that.
Well, from what I heard that they stopped doing it for a period of time because the lights... The light changes weren't working well with the TV broadcasts.
Don't let the facts get in the way of the narrative we're trying to create here and say they're being
Butchick
cheap.
Did Butchick say that in a pregame the other day? I feel like he said, don't let the facts get in the way of a good story. It must have been Friday. Yesterday. Yeah. Was it yesterday?
It was yesterday, yeah. I forget why, but yeah, he was talking about that. And yeah, we sometimes can do that. But yes, a big win there on Saturday. That gave him a four-game win streak. It ensured that they won the series against the Diamondbacks. But Friday, let's talk about Friday, 13-10 victory. An improbable lead was lost, and an improbable loss was won. It was...
What?
We were talking about this. What is the opposite of a comeback? So if the Rockies have a comeback, the D-backs allowed a blank.
Oh.
I like this word association. I like give back. It was a give back.
A give back?
You know, I don't know.
Well, what do we call it when it happens to us?
A comeback.
No. I mean, the other way around. We call it
a give back.
The game is falling apart.
Kenneth Weber. We'll give him a tip of the cap. He goes, collapse. And I go, well, it's alliterative. So I'll go with that. It doesn't follow the math of comeback and, you know, or give back. But collapse, comeback, that's what we saw on Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
A misty night.
A give up. That's what it is. A give up.
But they didn't.
Because they
didn't give up.
Yes.
But yes, but it was a give up in a major way. The whole ballpark, I imagine, smelled like dogs. Rymack had two home runs.
Oh, it was
like
awesome.
Lost in the shuffle.
Yes.
Lost in the shuffle of everything because I think he hit his two while they still had a lead.
Mm-hmm.
It was 8-1. And
that fifth inning.
I was at the bar, finished my nachos, and I go, I'm going to mingle. I'm going to do a round. And it was only like in 4 minutes that they had given up the 9 runs. It had turned around and I'm like, bases are loaded. This is ridiculous. I'm talking to RK and he said, grand slam. I'm like, that's impossible. Gomber just stepped onto the pitcher's plate.
Oh, nothing
what,
is impossible.
What, he threw the first pitch? First pitch grand slam? Yep. Which incidentally, I'm just realizing, didn't Pujols hit his grand slam on one pitch? That's not the second time. They've set Gomber up for failure like that.
Oh, no. Who is...
Gomber and Ginkle.
Why does Buddy hate Gomber so much? Why is he setting him up like this?
Right? It's like, oh, bases are loaded. I know what I'll do. Let's go to Austin
Let's
Gomber.
Let's mess with Austin Gomber. Let's ruin his day.
Man, yeah, that was wild. And congrats to Rymack, too. He now has the record for most times batting leadoff by a Rockies third baseman, a record... No one cares about but me. Please let me know if you care about
accurate,
it.
That is accurate because I truly don't care.
I think that's interesting. You don't see a lot of third baseman batting leadoff. So you know what? Ryan McMahon actually has the record. Going into the season, he had none. And all of a sudden, boom, he breaks Chris Stein's record. Sorry, Chris.
Wow, the great Chris Steins.
The legend.
The legend.
Crone. We're talking about Crone first or Elias Diaz?
We're going to talk about Crone first because it happened first.
It did.
That ball, that home run... on Friday, may still be in the air.
That was...
We can't prove otherwise.
That was an absolute shot. I'm very upset with the AT&T Sportsnet people. Speaking about facts getting in the way, they actually like tracked it frame by frame. The ball didn't go over the truck. It went in front of it.
Hmm.
I still don't believe it, even though I saw it for myself. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I don't believe it either. It was so hard to track, too, because like once it got near the truck, you kind of lose the ball against the white of the truck. So no one knew where it went. No one knew how far it went. Originally, it was measured at, I think, 446 or 445 or something like that. And we're like, well, there's no way.
No
like
way.
We don't know where the ball is, but like there's no way it only went 444.
If you hit it on the concourse, even down the line... That's 450.
Yeah.
Like at least that. Mm-hmm. And it went well past it.
Absolute nonsense.
And the ball was hit up really high too. Mm-hmm. That was the other thing that made it, that gave it that appearance of like, oh, this is really going to travel.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so then they readjusted to 504. at least until they change it back again. Who knows? Rockies, yeah. Get the bobblehead out in time for next week so we can have that. So they can't. So
we can enjoy it. No one can take it away from us. So we need to get it set in stone or whatever you make bobbleheads out of.
Stone.
Is it stone?
Yeah.
I like to imagine someone.
It's a limestone. Yeah.
Every individual.
We'll still have the Trevor Story 505 bobblehead. Even though that's not the case. But that 504-foot homer, longest in the majors this year.
Yes.
The top five longest home runs hit this year have all come at Coors Field.
Oh, my gosh. No. What?
I don't care. That doesn't take anything away. Crone has two of the top five. Christian Yelich, also this week, 499. Crazy. And actually, I think, was there Ryan McMahon this week? No, that was late August.
Yeah, that was a while ago.
495. And then that one by Jesus Sanchez, which I think was off Feltner. That went up into the third deck. Mm-hmm. But the McMahon one, no, who hit one? Oh, that was the Yelich one. We talked about that four rows back.
Yeah, yeah.
In the second deck. That was...
third deck.
Third deck, yes. Maybe a fourth deck. I don't know, technically.
If there was a fourth deck... I guess like...
Is the field the first deck?
No, Patrick.
All right. Well, then, then it's not it's the fourth not. Deck. I'm just getting excited. I want there to be as many decks as possible. When it comes to Coors Field.
Decks on decks on decks, no.
Why not? Did you also see that the team store? Here's a strange thing, too.
Okay.
The team store said, in honor of CJ Crone's 504-foot blast, we are giving customers 5.04% off all CJ Crone gear.
No. If you get CJ Crone gear, you got that 5.04% off of your whole order.
Yeah.
That's different than off of just CJ Crone gear.
So, all right, say it again. How did you say it? And Kale, we might need you to chime in.
No. So it's not. It's
all right, go ahead. Explain it because maybe it makes more sense with what you're saying.
So if you just buy one piece of CJ Crone gear, your whole order gets the discount. It's the discount on just CJ Crone gear.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah, it's different. All right, slightly different.
No, you're right. You're right. That's fine. Yeah, so you just... So basically it was an Easter egg hunt.
Did you just...
That went way over my head.
Let's break this down. So what I was kind of saying was like, you have to like only CJ Crone gear.
But it's not.
But Susie was saying, and I like this, and this would be nice if that's the case.
This is the case.
All you need to do is find one CJ Crone item in the store. Good luck finding it. But if you do, your entire order will get the discount, not just the Crone item.
That's what the sign said.
Yeah, okay. I believe you. That makes more sense. That's more fun than just... One item.
No. If you get something,
I'm with you on that.
For CJ Crone, then
I'm with you.
Everything is on sale. It's not a huge discount.
You gotta find the CJ, the one CJ Crone item.
Did you go in the store? Have you been? I didn't go in the store.
No,
today.
I did not have 2 hours to run through like it was a Nickelodeon game show to find the one CJ Crone item that they might have. I was thinking maybe they got those little like bootleg Legos. You know, like they have. Have you ever seen like the little bootleg Legos? And there's like, you know, it's to get people to like collect. Players and it's like, oh, the Nolan Arenado Rocky's Lego figure.
They've
have a
these.
Dinger thing, but it's a bootleg Lego. I don't know what it's called.
Oh, no.
It's a boot Lego. That should actually be a real brand, boot Lego.
Yo, can we end the show?
No, we gotta talk about Elias Diaz. Because Diaz contributed with two home runs. Rockies hit four home runs season high on Wednesday, where they scored 20 runs in a 13-7 victory. Not 13-7, 10-7 victory with a walk-off home run, a three-run home run by a guy who had two home runs. That was 3 hours and 4 minutes. And then the next day, they almost do the exact same thing. Now they hit five for the most on the season, 9 extra base hits. That was the most that they had. Elias Diaz absolutely went off. What was it like in the ballpark there in the ninth inning, especially after Hampson got thrown out stealing, trying to get in the scoring position? And you're like, well, there's our base runner.
Yeah.
That was disappointing. But then two guys get on board to bring up Diaz.
Yeah. Also, you know what? Just like, I'm going to sidebar this so we can talk about. We did not even talk about how Brendan Rodgers got ejected on Friday.
Okay. There you go. Yes. That that many things happened. It was like
so much
that
happened.
Crazy. And then the next day, Lavolo and Ketel Marte both got ejected. So we saw three ejections
drama.
In 2 days.
I do love the drama. I live for the drama.
Drama in every game except Sunday, unfortunately.
But yeah, no, the Sunday was boring. Friday was great. But yeah, that Diaz walk-off home run was absolutely incredible. I was laughing too because, you know, he gets the Gatorade or Powerade rather poured on him.
And bubble gum.
And the bubble gum. But every time Mark Stout wears his City Connect sweatshirt, there's a walk-off and it gets covered in Powerade and stained.
Ooh,
every
like
time.
I like that.
It's only been like two or three times, but still, every time he's doing sideline and wears that sweatshirt. But yeah, the energy was absolutely electric. It was such a great win after totally blowing a lead like that.
They came back to win. I mean, I asked players in the clubhouse, like, can you remember a game like that? I was like, no. Daniel Bard remembered one where his team was up 10-1 when he was with Boston. His rookie year in 2009 in Camden Yards, and they blew the lead and lost 11-10. So that's bad, but didn't quite happen like this where it was the big 9-run inning, second most runs given up by the Rockies in an inning. They gave up 10 last year in a game. I think it might have been the first inning against the Giants. They were just out of it that quickly. It was really bad. But that game was only 3 hours and 5 minutes. I went and looked at the history of every single game at Coors Field, or every Rockies game, so including Mile High.
Did you? Oh, my gosh.
And every game that had they scored 23 runs or more, 5 different occasions, the game was actually quicker than 3 hours and 5 minutes. Can you believe that? They played a game in 1999. 27 runs were scored. They beat the Mariners in 2 hours and 49 minutes. Those were the days. Sign us up. So whatever was going down on Friday.
I'm shook.
Like, if you can have that much action going on, and you go, that was only 3 hours. It felt like a lot happened, but you'd sign up for that. That's a league average, like an average MLB game is that long. So I think that's absolutely fantastic. Let's...
Should we talk about Brendan Rodgers getting ejected?
Sure. What do you got on that?
Because it was... Well, it's the first time he's ever been ejected.
Yeah, he got sassy. He deserved it.
He did get sassy, but so he walked up first base and was demonstrating.
Yeah,
that was it. I'm like, yes, Brendan, tell him.
Yeah, there was a couple calls, I think Friday and Saturday, where both sides were like, yeah, this cruise is not doing too great. So, yeah, the cameras kept cutting away when we were watching at the bar. And I was like, they didn't eject him yet because they cut to Brendan. I was like, once he put his hand on his bat to show what he did, I was like, he's got to go. And then we saw the replay. I was like, oh, yeah, no, he did get tossed. So that makes sense. And what's interesting is the next night, I don't know if you saw in Albuquerque, the exact same thing happened, except the Isotopes did not come back. They gave up 9 runs to the Chihuahuas and ended up losing. I think it was 10-9. But on the bright side, hey, the Isotopes now have a franchise record, 213 and counting. They might even have more based on what they did last night. But most home runs in franchise history and 13 grand slams, the most in a season tied for any minor league team ever. So they are hitting some crazy ones. And that's what Jake Burke said. Jake Bird said, he's like, no, I've seen some crazy things happen in Albuquerque, but still none crazier than Friday night at Coors Field.
Yeah.
That's why you go to the games, because you never know what can happen.
Well, that's like my favorite part about being at Coors Field for all these games. Every game you go to has the potential to be the weirdest baseball game you have ever seen.
Undoubtedly.
Undoubtedly. Yeah.
That's why you got to buy a ticket. Even if you wait until the last minute, like if you go to Game Time, get the app. It's fantastic.
Here we go.
Dude, that is the site to get your tickets. It's great for last minute too, or if you're looking out, you don't want to buy tickets maybe ahead of time for an event, whatever it is going on. Sometimes if you actually wait for an event, you can get, you know, up to 60% off the face value of those tickets. I actually did that for a show at Red Rocks, a pretty notable act, you know, close to a decade ago when Game Time first came out as an app. Boom. I went to a game. Around the game, I went to a show at Red Rocks for $15 per ticket after the fees and all that. Just baked right in. Yeah, no, it's really fantastic. So, you know, you can even get seats on the 50-yard line, courtside, behind home plate, floor seats. Look, if you are a little bit frugal's not the word, but savvy is the word. I almost want to say sassy. Savvy.
It's not sassy, savvy.
Yes. Financially sassy is being savvy. And that's what Game Time is going to help you do. And look, if you love DNVR, then you're going to love Game Time. The best way to support us is to buy your tickets through them using the link in our description, the podcast, the show here on YouTube. You can see that. Join over 15 million people who've downloaded the Game Time app. and have scored the best seats to all of your favorite events. Again, hit the link in our description to save, and make sure you also save on some great golf gear. Ooh. From the Colorado Golf Association.
Yes.
Check out coloradogolf.org, and you can join over 70,000 golfers with the Colorado Golf Association today. Receive an official USGA handicap with worldwide access to score posting and GPS tracking. You're going to get all kinds of exclusive deals and discounts from national and local companies, including Imperial, Golf Tech, PGA Tour, Superstore. Hey, you can also get exclusive courses, exclusive access to courses around the state. We're talking the club at Ravenna, Aspen Glen Club, the Pinery, and more. It's still golf season. Colorado, you can pretty much golf all year round. We know with the 300 days of sun, you can do that and do it the best way possible with the Colorado Golf Association by visiting coloradogolf.org and using code DNVR5 to get $5 off your membership. Susie, how do you feel about these new rules that we got going on for 2023? Bigger bases, no shifting defensively, and the pitch clock.
Okay, so if I were to rank my favorites out of these three changes, bigger bases is my favorite.
No one has a problem with that. That's great.
I'm very fascinated by the bigger bases. Yeah. Can't wait to see them. I want to see some more stolen bases. I hope this makes a difference. Okay, so stolen. Bigger bases, number one. Pitch clock, number two.
Ooh, okay.
Not necessarily so excited about banning the shift.
Why not?
You know, it's just, it feels like the game is being overgoverned.
Ooh.
You know?
That's very fair.
I'm all about freedom of expression.
Freedom of defensive choices. Exactly.
Thank you for being in my brain on that one.
If you identify as a team that wants to shift, you should be able to do that. Yes, and it should be recognized.
Exactly.
No, I agree. I totally agree. Bigger bases, from what I've talked with some of the guys, a couple things were brought up that was interesting. Garrett Hampson said, you know, now the infielders are a little bit closer to first base. So those bang bang plays where you go, ooh, tie goes to the runner. You know, did you beat him by half a step? Now the defense might get a couple more outs on those, those ground balls, right? Again, it's not a ton. We're talking maybe an inch or two, right? But that could be a slight advantage. I also think we're going to get less instant, reviews on those plays at second base because players are going to be able to touch the bag a little bit easier on the double plays because they're going to have that room, so it's going to be a little bit easier. The base, I think, is going to be a little bit flatter, so that will also help out in a way. So we'll lose those reviews, and there'll be more outs at second base on those double plays or almost double plays. But you may have more guys getting to bases, and when they're out, they're dead to rights. You're like, great throw by the right fielder. McMahon puts the tag down. There's more base to cover. There's more base to block.
That's true.
And to protect.
That's true.
And so I think we're going to have more guys, you know, getting safe on plays like that than in the past where like very obviously an out. So that will be interesting to see. The pitch clock, it's definitely going to impact the pitchers a lot more. I think some of the guys that have been in the minors are going to have an advantage. Jake Bird feels like, I'm not going to have to adjust quite as much as maybe some of the other guys. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, it feels the vets are going to be able to adjust with that quickly.
Yeah, you know what? And I don't know if you remember, but when we were talking to Josh Sushan about this earlier this season when they were doing it, down in AAA, he mentioned, like, let's say, you know, we're starting an inning and Brian Servin is hitting leadoff there and he's got to take off all of his catcher's gear. How is he going to make it in? How is he going to make it to the plate in time? Yeah. So, like, that kind of stuff I'm concerned about. So
that's like an enforcement situation
where
if the umps kind of look a blind eye to something, and now they can't do it because that's the whole point is you have to follow through on the penalties so the guys are moving quickly. But that could be one where you go, all right, I'll give it a little bit more time. Some players, they might take all 9 seconds in the box. And so now the pitchers have only 6 seconds if there's nobody on base, 15 seconds with nobody on base, 20 with guys on. Also seems like pitch calm will probably be used on every single pitch now. So, because some of the pitchers said, like, hey, I'm going to be waiting to get my sign from my catcher. And now, you know, the batter's waiting. He's not stepping in. He's kind of looking back. I have 6 seconds by the time he steps in to get my pitch, get set, throw my pitch? Mm-hmm. Well, not if you're getting the pitch calm and the catcher's boom, he's punching it in right away. Now, while you're waiting for the hitter, you know what you're going to throw and you can go. So I think pitch calm is going to be a huge factor next year for pitchers being able to move a lot quicker.
Gosh, then what happens though if there's an error with pitch calm? Or because, you know, there have been technical glitches with this, you know, first year that we're using it.
100%. Yeah, I mean, that's going to be all part of it.
What do we do?
Somebody's going to have to run to Radio Shack and get some new of those mini watch batteries, because you always think you have one. You go to that box that has all your batteries and you go, I don't have a watch battery in it. That's going to plague MLB all season next year. And the shift, you know, I think will be, we're going to see a lot more hits and that there's going to be a lot more action. So there might be a lot less strikeouts too, because pitchers aren't catching their breath like Alex Colome, so they can throw out, you know, 100% of their fastball. So it's going to be good in general. There's going to be that adjustment period, but overall, I think it's going to be positive for the game. I got something positive for the show. It's a Pop Sues.
Oh no, I hate being surprised, Kale.
The Queen's Edition quiz of Pop Sues, because on Friday, it was a great tweet someone made from the DNVR Rockies account. It's hard to know who's doing what from the account, but everyone was made to have a moment of silence for the woman whose family oppressed my family a long time ago.
Yes, that's correct.
During the
the most Irish person you know, famine. Patrick Lyons here.
Patrick, pasty Patrick. Look at how red I am.
Yes. Yeah,
absolutely. Don't adjust your screens. This is just what I look like. but we'll throw you some quick ones here before we get to the gossip. Okay. Can you name one team? I bet you can. Can you name one team that played in the World Series the year Queen Elizabeth II was born?
Oh.
So it was 1926, but I think, and Kale, you know what? We might have to let Kale in on this one. You can be your phone friend. Name one of the two teams back in 1926, a long ass time ago, that probably played in the World Series.
The Red Sox and the Cubs. I don't know.
Okay, Red Sox and Cubs. Decent guess.
Yeah.
I'm going to pool your answers together. So don't say Red Sox and Cubs. Pick a different two teams.
I mean, I think Cardinals are probably, maybe Yankees.
You would have nailed both of them. Cardinals actually won that World Series.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Okay, very nice.
All right.
What baseball movie was the Queen a prominent character? Oh, you guys should know this.
The Queen.
Yeah.
What baseball movie is the Queen in?
This is one where there's people going, what? How do you not know this? Yeah. It was a major plot point. She was attending a game and Reggie Jackson was trying to kill the Queen. They brainwashed him. And so he played her in the Angels. He's at Dodger Stadium. Enrico Palazzo was an undercover cop.
What? I don't know. Wait, what?
Maybe Kale's got it.
I don't think I've ever seen this movie.
But. You don't know it? Oh, I figured it would just be in the ether.
No.
Naked Gun. Naked Gun. The full title is From the Files of Police Squad, 1988.
I've never seen Naked Gun.
Neither have I.
That would be like the only one maybe worth seeing. They're all like weird and quirky. But for the baseball aspect and for the Queen's aspect, she wasn't in it, but it was, you know, someone who looked just like her.
Yeah, okay.
Reggie Jackson was trying to kill the Queen. So, all right. Two more.
Okay.
Did the Queen ever see a Major League Baseball game in person?
I want to say no. I know she went to an Orioles game.
Very good.
I know she went to an Orioles game.
Well, that
game.
Was the next one. Yeah. Well, we didn't have the Washington Nationals for a period of time, and the Senators left, I want to say, in 1968. So for a period of time, Baltimore was, I guess, the capital team. Mm-hmm. So you had 1988, Oakland and Baltimore. She actually got to see Harold Baines get an RBI that scored Ricky Henderson. So she did see two Hall of Famers there in one play. Did she stay for the whole game, do you think?
No, not a chance.
Not a chance.
Not a chance.
Nailed it. You're on a roll here. How many innings did she see? Kale, why don't you go first? Because Susie's hot right now. She's going to nail it.
I promise.
I'm going to guess 5.
Okay.
I was going to say 3.
2.
Oh my gosh, that's insulting.
Not much happened after the top of the first.
That woman has seen 2 innings of baseball, and we were giving her a moment of silence.
I think they were all 1, 2, 3 innings other than the top of the first. So she was like, this is kind of boring. And meanwhile, she probably was watching like a couple 16-hour cricket matches.
Yeah, cricket. Oh my gosh. Yeah. She should have come to a game at Coors Field, and now she never can.
Now, this one's going to be super hard too. This is just a bonus one.
Okay.
What player who we've mentioned several times this season. So he's an active player.
Okay.
Shares a birthday, April 21st, with the Queen.
Oh.
I'll tell you this. Today's a big day for him, with it being the first week of the NFL. This man who knows IR rules very, very well.
Jock Peterson. Okay.
Yes. Kel, you know that story with Jock Peterson and his fantasy football league, right?
I don't, but we don't need to spend time on it.
Long story short, he was in a league where everyone had what, $10,000 to get in? And another player.
I love that Kale is just not having it today.
This was a huge story in baseball. Kale, we need a camera on you. $10,000 to get in. Mike Trout is the commissioner. Jock Peterson made a couple transactions because he knew the rules and picked up, he stashed some players on the IR. He beat a player, Tommy Pham. Tommy Pham was pissed. He quit the league. Jock Peterson hid from him late in the season last year. The first time they played against each other this year in 2022, Tommy Pham slapped him in the face.
Yeah.
In public.
Shares a birthday with the Queen. So does Ken Caminiti and two former Rockies, Josh Rutledge.
Shares a birthday with the Queen. Also a fellow Taurus. Shouts.
Yo, Taurus season. Mercury's in retrograde. Let's go.
Two former Rockies share a birthday with the Queen. And I got to point out, just because, again, for people who love the weird names, Josh Rutledge and Kip Wells, opening day starter once. Yes, Rockies handed the ball on opening day to Kip Wells.
Well, then.
Well, then.
Well, then.
Indeed. I think it's time that we cleanse our palate with some gossip.
Let's do a little gossip before we close this show out. Shall we? All right. Oh, no. Kale. Take it down.
we're spoiling the gossip already. First, Susie needs to spill the tea, and we got to discern if this tea is drinkable.
Yeah. All right. We're going to start with this. We're going to start with this. It may have been spoiled for you. Chad Kuhl, who had a birthday on Saturday, had a fish cake for his birthday.
He's more of a Grateful Dead guy, so I'm going to say... No, there's no truth to this rumor whatsoever. Right?
Thank you for playing along. Kind of. So he had a fishing-themed cake. So I don't know if you remember his wife, who celebrated a 30th birthday.
Yeah, that was an elaborate cake. I don't remember what it was.
They had a City Connect cake.
Oh, yes,
that's it. She did a City Connect cake. So then this is Chad Kuhl's 30th birthday cake, and it's him fishing, which we know he likes to do.
I didn't, actually. I didn't know he was... I mean, Bard, big fisherman. Charlie, big fisherman. But also, Chad Kuhl.
This is an impressive cake.
I don't know if I'd be able to eat that. That's a lot
it's
of...
It's so beautiful.
Shoot, back when I used to watch the Cake Boss a lot, what do they call it? Fondant.
Yeah.
Fondant is not good. It's not tasty at all.
All right. I like fondant. We're gonna move on to the next rumor that I heard. Ooh. So Albert Pujols hit home run number 697 today, Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
But he couldn't get the ball back from the fans who caught it. Patrick, is that true?
Ooh, I don't know. I can't think of where St. Louis is at right now. That ball's not really worth all that much necessarily.
It could be his last one.
That's true. So you might hold on to it, wait. That's a fair point. It's still not worth like $1 million people were going crazy for back in the day. I mean, maybe it is with inflation. It's hard to know. If gas is close to $4 a gallon, I got to think a 697.
This is not a math equation.
I got to think 697 for Pujols. Unfortunately, I think he didn't get it back.
You're right, but it's not that he couldn't get it back. So take a look at this. This is the couple that caught Pujols' 697th home run. So he was talking to the couple and realized that that woman's father had passed away a year ago today. So Albert decided to let them keep the ball because it would mean more to them than it would to him.
That's cool.
Like, I get goosebumps about this right now. That's pretty incredible.
I saw that on my feed, but didn't look at what it was. It was just like, okay, some Pittsburgh people did some things.
Yeah.
But that's really nice.
Yeah,
this
happened during the Rockies game, so I imagine you were a little busy.
That's really cool. I think that's a class act. And that's also Pujols going, that ain't my last one. Don't worry. That ain't my last one. So he's now passed A-Rod right, or is he tied?
He's passed A-Rod.
He's passed me, yeah, because A-Rod had 696.
He passed A-Rod. I think he tied A-Rod. Was it Saturday?
The 96, or yeah. Yeah. And now
he's on a tear.
He's going to do it.
He is on a tear.
He's going to do 700. It's going to be fantastic. I don't know where St. Louis finishes up their season. Would you do, if it was an off day, would you drive the, nah, it would be like 14.
You can't, no.
It'd be 14 hours to St. Louis.
No, that's longer. I know what a day drive is, and that is too long for a day drive.
14 is the limit.
No,
you can do 14.
Eight is the limit.
Oh, no.
Eight is the limit.
I went from one block from the Atlantic Ocean to one block to the Pacific Ocean in 2.5 days. Got to Des Moines, day one. Mm-hmm. Day two, got to Wendover, Utah on the border of Nevada. And then by lunch the next day, left on Monday, got there by lunch on Wednesday. I don't mess around when I drive and do a road trip and I've got a destination I got to be at. That's just me, though.
You know what? I want to not fall asleep at the wheel and I don't want to be miserable. I think does St. Louis end the season 6 straight against Pittsburgh?
Yeah, I think that might be.
Thank you, Todd.
Cincinnati played Pittsburgh, but I think it's 3-3. Rockies are the only team. Rockies and Dodgers are the only team that have 6 against each other in one location. And I think there's 2 series where they they switch off and on. So mm-hmm. I don't know if it'll be in Pittsburgh. So the first 3 might be in Pitt. Next 3 might be in St. Louis. But
hold on. Before we show the next piece of gossip, I like this comment from Will over here. There's a significant chance that Pujols gets 700 home runs and Arenado gets 300 in the same game.
When I talked with Drew Goodman on Friday, I said, imagine that on the final day of the season. Yep, you get Arenado mm-hmm. hitting 300 and winning his first division championship.
He has not shut up about the fact that he would love to win the division because he's never done it before.
Pujols hit 700 and ho-hum, Paul Goldschmidt wins the first Triple Crown in the National League since Joe Ducky Medwick in 1937. All on the same day. That's not a real name. Don't Hall of Famer, Ducky Medwick. Yes, come on.
All right, we're going to get to the next piece of gossip. So Freddie Freeman said, this is what I heard. Freddie Freeman said the reason he was able to go 4-for-5 against the Padres Saturday night is because he doesn't have to look at the, quote, ugly highlighter Sherbert jerseys.
Did he say that?
Do you think that's true, Patrick? Do you think he said that? Look, there's a graphic.
I don't know if he said ugly. I think he threw the word Sherbert around. I don't think he said ugly.
the word Sherbert around.
He did drop a Sherbert bomb probably on that, I'm thinking.
You know what? Oh, so, Kale, let's see the
did
next.
Did he say ugly?
You
got to
zoom
ugly.
In. Freeman didn't say this.
Oh, okay. Yeah, did he throw the word Sherbert around, though?
No, I don't think he commented on it. So he's never said this, but we don't know if he was thinking it or not.
So we made a graphic based on a potential thought?
Someone else on Twitter made that graphic.
Oh, okay.
Someone else made it. Freddie Freeman was trending on Twitter today.
He may have thought that they were filming the Barbie 2 sequel at Petco with those uniforms on. Because
that is true.
Those are the colors that come in a typical, pack of highlighters.
It's true. One more thing that I heard. Someone told me baseball season's over.
No.
It's not.
It's no.
Nope.
People might think less of me and you because I think we're kind of on the same page. Mm-hmm. I took a hard pass on football, a decade or so ago. I was just mm-hmm. I'm just going to focus all my energy on. It's still a good sport. It's still entertaining. I still keep tabs on it a little bit, but just give me baseball all year round. I'm going to pass on the NFL.
You know what? I truly do not. Sorry, guys. I don't care about football until baseball season's over.
Okay, that's fair.
I just don't care.
That's true.
I can't care.
That's fair.
Kale, what do you think?
I'm the wrong person to ask in this conversation. I love football.
Kale shed a tear over Serbia getting knocked out of the Euro.
Oh,
I did. It was a tough day for my basketball.
Gosh. See, I was wondering why you were so down today, and I forgot that was earlier today, right?
Yeah, Serbia lost.
Oh, gosh. I'm so sorry.
It's okay. Thanks.
Poor Kale. I was trying to end the show on a high note, and we ended it with Kale being sad. This sucks.
No, well, what doesn't suck is the Rockies being in Chicago for a week.
Yes.
We'll be covering it, too, against the La Russa-less White Sox.
Yeah.
Hoping that
thoughts and prayers.
He's doing okay.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he's He's going out to Oakland to see some of his old buddies, but he's not going to manage a game, which, I mean, to be fair, is a lot less stressful. But
yeah,
the La Russa-less White Sox, that's a day game, too, on Wednesday, because it was originally supposed to be a night game. Mm-hmm. But three straight day games at Wrigley. That will be interesting.
A lot of day games in Chicago. Very weird.
Look, the Rockies are still on pace for 70 wins. They are still exactly where they need to be from where I predicted.
Good.
They lost one more than I thought to Cincinnati, but they won one more against Milwaukee. So I'm feeling good about that.
All right.
My prediction was that they would go 3-2 and have actually a winning road trip in Chicago. We'll see what happens. But we'll have pregame, postgame shows all this week covering the baseball going down there in the Windy City. We'll have it covered on at @DNVR_Rockies on Twitter. At Patrick D. Lyons is where I'm at on Twitter.
And you can find me at the Susie Hunter on all platforms.
Despite the four-game winning streak being snapped and the seemingly loss of momentum, it's okay. Because you know what they really say about momentum?
What do they say, Patrick?
They say momentum, it's only as good as your next show. So we'll talk to you on Tuesday.